listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This month I'm still reading Cabaret of Monsters, a creature court novella. Cabaret of Monsters is available for sale right now in ebook and in paperback. If you're enjoying this story, you'll probably love the Creature Court trilogy. All three books are being re-released in February. You can pre-order them now. The first one is Power and Majesty. And so February is going to be all about the Creature Court release for me. I will be talking about it a lot. But for now, we are still celebrating Saturnalia. So here's your fun facts about the original Roman festival of Saturnalia for the week. It was a festival because it was so topsy-turvy. They encouraged free speech. So supposedly it was like the one time of the year when a slave could say whatever they liked to their master without reprisal. Not sure how well that worked in real life. It was also the one time of the year that it was socially approved to go gambling. As Romans were such law-abiding folk, I'm sure you believe, as I do, that they didn't gamble for money any other time throughout the year. Only on the special occasions. Now, please enjoy Cabaret of Monsters. Chapter 11. Several market nines ago, before Evie came to Alfleur. Evangeline Inglira had often been invited into houses like this, manors and estates, more like castles than ordinary homes, houses full of servants and stray cousins, and furniture older than anyone still living. It never ceased to amaze her, the way toffs were so determined to be waited upon, that they invited anyone they wished to do business with into their home, even a snake like her. This particular manor was on the fancier side of Amorian country hospitality. The gardens were enormous enough that the driveway could do with its own railway. From the looks that Evie had received from the maids and the other servants, it was the first time any woman had ever dared wear trousers in this house. She had known that before she accepted the invitation, but she found it interesting to see how people reacted to such a slight challenge to the code of conventional behaviour. If they clutched their pearls at the sight of her legs outlined in soft linen, they likely had no stomach for her line of work, and even less stomach for paying a woman to perform such work. These were the clients to watch. They'd hire you all the same, but stiff you on the deal later. When the Dowager Baronial Augusta Zandelian finally entered the exquisite drawing room to attend her guest, she did not bat an eyelid at Evie's expertly tailored trews. That was a good sign. The Dowager Baronial, daughter of the recently deceased Duke of Alfleur and aunt of the new Duchessa, was a matronly dame in a gown built for comfort rather than fashion. There was more dark than grey in her hair, which she wore in a soft mass on top of her head, all loose curls and pins. She would have been all the mode only a few years ago, before the women of the big cities began to shingle and bob. Evie had almost refused the invitation. She knew far less about the great families of Alfleur than she should, and was concerned at the risks if she failed to grasp the subtler inner threads of this foreign society. She was, however, slightly outside her comfort zone. Everything she had learned about this woman from afar told her that the Dowager Baronial Augusta was not a dame who would hire a killer without very good reason. There was nothing more tantalising to Evie than a question unanswered. So she was here, 1,000 miles from home, sipping tea in a fancy room full of loudly ticking clocks, waiting to find out what made a wealthy twice widow from a ducal family desperate enough to call upon an assassin. If she did, would Evie take the job? All excellent questions. The Dowager Baronial helped herself to tea without calling for assistance. Another mark in her favour. Another note that marked her out as more interesting than your standard fancy-pants dame with more diamonds than sense. "They call you the storyteller," the Dowager Baroniel said calmly, settling in a violet chair opposite Evie's, which was sea green. "Indeed they do," said Evie. Augusta's eyes were wise and knowing. "It's not only because of your cover as a newspaper, Dem, is it? But that's what you want people to think." "Your people," said Evie with a smirk. "It's what I want you to think." "They say you don't just remove people," said Augusta. "You disappear them. They also say that you could kill a ghost, a witch, a whisper of a person who barely has a foot in the real world." "I've done all those things," said Evie. "I'm very good." "That's exactly what I need," said Augusta. Her face looked well and truly haunted now. "Have you heard stories about Alfler?" "Everyone's heard stories about Alfler," said Evie. "Blood and beasts and secrets, a war that rained down from the sky and then disappeared. If you talk to someone who lives there, it sounds like a lovely place to be. Honey cakes and ribbons." Augusta gave a hollow laugh. "I need someone who can look past the honey cakes and ribbons," she said. "Someone who can dig into where the monsters live, beneath the surface of the city." "Ah," said Evie, trying not to look too excited. "That sounds like something of interest to a storyteller. What do you have against monsters?" "One of them destroyed my son," said Augusta. There was the rub. Most dames who hired an assassin wanted to rid themselves of a husband. But the Dowager Baroniel, Augusta Zandelion, had lost both her husbands already under perfectly unsuspicious circumstances. She had 5 sons, according to Evie's research, and a young scrap of a daughter who behaved every bit as though she were a 6th. They were all heirs to the duchy, until the new duchessa had her own babies. But Evie would not have been invited openly to this house if the Dowager Baroniel plotted genuine treason. The clocks on every surface in the lovely room all ticked louder, as if Evie was on to something. "I passed your sons as I came up the driveway," Evie said honestly. "An amiable look by the lot of them, swinging lawn tennis rackets and riding horses. Which of them do you consider to have been destroyed?" "My eldest," said Augusta gravely. "Ashiel." "Oh, the one in the fine coat who needs a haircut," said Evie. "It was a guess, but there was quite an age gap between the eldest and second eldest of Augusta's sons, so hardly a stab in the dark. He glowered at me on my way in." "He's doing better," Augusta admitted. "But that city nearly killed him. And now our family summons him back to support his cousin, and I can't let him go. Not if the monster is still there, waiting for him." "I'm good with monsters," said Evie. "But I'll need every thread you can give me. Every rumour, every word. Killing fairy tales is more difficult than husbands. It requires a lot of groundwork." "I have nothing solid," the Dowager Baroniel admitted. "Ashiel never spoke about his time in Alfler. I know he fell in with a bad crowd full of secrets and strangeness, criminals, drug addicts. He was addled and broken when he was brought home to me. He made it through withdrawal, suicide attempts. He still drinks too much. It felt at the time as if my son did not return at all. Only a shade of the boy I knew." "There are many potions and powders that can do that to a man," said Evie. This wouldn't be the first drug ring she had hunted, if that was what the lady wanted of her. "It was more than that," said Augusta Zandelion, so quietly that the words almost stayed within her mouth. "There was... I should show you rather than tell you. This is why, when I began to research ways to rid myself of my son's tormentor, your reputation caught my eye. This is why I need a storyteller, not a knife or a sword. She lifted a brown leather journal from the side table, where her abandoned cup of tea awaited her. His ravings were so strange and yet quite specific, as if 1,000 fairy tales filled his head and spilled over it all. There was a coherence to it that made it feel... The Dowager Baroneel broke off. True, said Evie. True, Augusta agreed. She handed over the book. Evie flipped through it, words and sentence fragments, underlined here and there, making little sense. Animor, Creature King, Chimera, Lords and Court, Sentinel, the sky is falling, the city is burning, the arches, the Haymarket, the museum, Sky Silver. There were sketches, too, in the Dowager Baroneel's hand, presumably to pass the time as she sat by her son's bedside and waited to see if he would live. Black cats, rats, spotted gattopardo, owls, wolves, the Amorian type of wolf that was narrow and shaggier than those of the Ingleran forests. The narrow streets of Alfler, twisted and different. Swords and roses, swords and roses, swords and... How will I find my mark? Asked Evie, closing the journal with a snap. This she could work with. I know a handful of names, Augusta said. They're written there in the book. Livilla, Mars, Saturn, Tasha, poet, a theatre, the Vittorina Royale. As for the monster at the heart of it all, he grew up here, on this estate. His name was Garnet. I don't know what he calls himself now. When my son suffers the most in his dreams, that is the name he screams. Garnet, Evie repeated. I need him gone from Alfler, never to return, said Augusta. If that means you have to kill him. Well, said Evie, let's be realistic. Of course that means I have to kill him. Garnet bled red like any other man. The stories about invisible swords were true. The knife blade that did not even tickle Evie's finger had cut Garnet's throat like it was forged to be the death of him. He lay on the harsh grey stones, his body fighting for air as his throat bubbled with blood. Evie leaned in. My client sends you greetings from Ashiel Zandelion, she said politely. She hated that part of it, an unnecessary flourish, but she took pride in her work, and if that meant issuing words of vengeance to a person who would shortly hear nothing more, well, that was why they paid her the big coin. Garnet's face changed in that instant, not with anger, but fear. This was why Evie valued words so much. A sentence that could make a dying man even more afraid, that was a power no weapon could match. She leaned over him, ready to draw the blade away the second he was dead. She wasn't one for keeping trophies, but this was a dagger she yearned to own, and there was no one to say she could not keep it. Pain burst into her body from the side, and Evie flew, floated, slammed into the wall. Slowly she spat out a mouthful of blood and pushed herself up. Livilla, Stella of the Vittorina Royale, stood between Evie and Garnet, in a glittering gown of beads and feathers. Not the angel costume. This one was all black, with silver threads that danced like fringe around her knees. "You're ruining my plans," said the demoiselle, who turned into wolves, though she did not look angry. She did not look as if she cared about anything, least of all the dying man on the floor behind her. Garnet doesn't think you're yourself, Evie said quietly, pushing herself to her feet. Her muscles were bruised, and something was torn that made her hips scream at her, but nothing was broken. She should have paid more attention to Livilla. Evie had used her as a distraction, not thinking it would matter one way or another. It mattered now. Garnet, said Livilla, in a mocking voice. Who would have thought he was the one to notice? Her lover, Mars, the one who actually loves her, he didn't see it. Her Cortese, the young wolf and the raven, they didn't see it. Poet, who opened the doors of his theatre to her, who let me inside, he still thinks he did her a favour. None of them saw the obvious, except the man who sees everything, because he's so damn scared of what he has left to lose. You're not Lavilla, said Evie, but you are dangerous. Takes one to know one, said the creature behind Lavilla's eyes. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.